and welcome to Teachers Supporting Teachers, a podcast designed for pre-service teachers and beginning teachers. My name's Narelle Lemon, and I'm an Associate Professor in Education at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne, Australia. I'm also the Creative Director of Explore and Create Code. Welcome to Series 2, where I invite you to use your strengths of creativity, curiosity, open-mindedness to explore what might be possible. In Series 1, we focused a lot about COVID-19 and the dynamic changes that we needed to make. In Series 2, I want to branch out a little bit more and talk about what it means to be a teacher and all those different aspects that are a part of our job, how we look after ourselves, but also how we look after the young people that we work with. So join me in this series as we discover some new insights with some guests from Australia, but also from the international context.
Teachers Supporting Teachers, and I'm so delighted that Jodi Cooper is back and joining us once more. We had Jodi for an episode talking about play, and particularly thinking about that in regards to our well-being and what that brings out in us and how we engage with others. And this time we're talking about willpower, and I think it's a very, very important topic, especially right now, because many of us are talking about feeling foggy brain, low motivation, overwhelmed, and you know, different things are happening for all, each of us for different reasons. So welcome, Jodi.
Thanks.
So what's been happening in your life? What's something cool that's been going on for you since we last connected?
Ooh, that's a really great question. Good one to start with, Narelle. Thank you. Something cool. All right. So I've been working lately with council, which is a different role for me. And so I actually kind of sat down and started thinking about what's really important, because it became obvious that I actually couldn't do everything anymore. So taking on a new role and having my business really meant that something had to give. So I sat down on the weekend and just kind of mapped out, and you'll probably remember the process, Narelle, of doing a hope map, looking at what's really important in your life and then figuring out, okay, well, if that's really important, how do I get there? What are all the challenges that are going to come up? What are all the obstacles? And then how do I deal with them? And so, yeah, I sat down, and normally for me that looks like sitting on the ground with a cup of tea, a bit of chocolate, and lots of coloured textures. And I just mapped out the things that were really important. So, yeah, it might be a bit random, but for me, that was pretty cool, because I feel just refocused this week and really clear on what I'm trying to create.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's really nice. And I love that as something that you're sharing so generously as well, because I think there'd be many pre-service teachers listening to this episode and listening to the podcast series itself who may be in a particular stage in their life, you know, about to graduate, for example, where they might benefit from doing a hope map themselves. So it's a nice share. I might put a link to it in the podcast notes as well on hope mapping for anyone who wants to find out a little bit more about that. So.
Yeah, and it might be something that we come back and circle back around to in terms of willpower.
Yeah.
And what that looks like and how we do it better. So, yeah, keep that one on the shelf.
Nice one. Well, willpower, what is it? Why do we need it? Why should we be aware of it?
All right. So probably the easiest way to think about willpower is it's a bit like a muscle. So if you want to get stronger or fitter, you need to go to the gym and you need to work out. That's the only way to build your muscle. And so willpower is actually similar to a muscle, but it helps us to do three things. So most people think about willpower in terms of not eating the chocolate cake, right? Just resisting that temptation. And that's part of it, but it's only a third. The other part is when we take positive action. So if you decide, you know what, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go for a run, then you need your willpower to actually help you create and take that positive action. But the third thing, and the thing that most people don't think about willpower for at all, is for making decisions. So it's really easy to understand that we need willpower to resist temptation, even to take positive action, but we don't think about when I get up and deciding about what I'm going to have for breakfast as actually requiring willpower. But it does. So every option that we look at, we need to eliminate one, and to be able to make a choice, we actually need to be discerning and use our willpower and self-control. And I think, you know, Narelle, that's one of the things that most people trip over with willpower, is they don't take into account the amount of decisions that they make every single day. You know, reading Roy Baumeister's book on willpower, he talked about the average person spends around 3 hours every day just trying to avoid temptation and use their willpower. And if you think about your average day, you know, it might mean sitting in the office and then the boss says something and you're like, oh God, hold it together. Don't say what you're thinking. Don't say what you're thinking. Or it might mean responding to an email and before you send it off, you're like, you check yourself and you go, oh no, I won't send that. I'll add a little bit of, you know, diplomacy to that email. And so it helps us all day long make those good decisions that are going to help us and support us. So willpower is really that, I guess it's almost like the magic piece that keeps our lives together and ticking along. A nice way to think of it is a crocodile doesn't have willpower.
Okay. Yep.
If you think about our brain, one of the parts of our brain is actually called the reptilian brain, and it sits at the base of our skull, right? And so that's largely what a crocodile has. That part of our brain is responsible for eating, sleeping, and reproducing. And that's its to-do list done. And so we still have that part of our brain that basically is just giving us urges to keep us alive. So if we see food, we have an urge to eat it because that's going to keep us alive. And we still have that. But now we also, our brains have evolved. So we have this prefrontal cortex, which enables us to resist those urges. So those two parts of our brain now are kind of, I guess they've got different agendas for the day, right? And so we constantly have this to-ing and fro-ing between these natural urges that we have that are quite instinctual and our ability to control and manage these urges, which helps us improve our life in the long term.
Yeah.
Crocodiles don't think that way.
No, they don't. And I think, yes, we could think of a few scenarios with crocodiles where we're like, yep, that makes so much sense. It's reminding me also when Barack Obama was president, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I love the story, and it helps me many times when I need to use my willpower and think about choice and eliminating things in my life in order to function well, is that Barack Obama used to wear the same suit every day, but he has a wardrobe of them, right? So it's not physically the same suit, but it's the same color. So he automatically gets up in the morning, he picks out the suit. He doesn't have to make a choice with the color. So it's eliminating, and it, you know, so simple. The shirt's there, you know, the tie. Supports that routine, is I'm going to exercise, have breakfast with my family, and then I'm going to look at email. And so there's all that, you know, that sequence of what's happening, choice that's happening, but there's elements there where he's eliminating those aspects in order to make the right choice and to continue going with what is right for him and his intentions here this year. Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of examples, particularly among businessmen, who have done exactly the same thing. And all it does is it conserves our willpower and our decision making for the more important things. So, you know, we're not quite at the tip stage in what you can do, but it's definitely something to think about, is because the moment that we have a habit, that decision's already automatically made for us. So we keep our willpower intact, which is a really easy way to conserve it for later in the day. And most people generally, if you think about yourself, most people generally run out of willpower by about 3 o'clock. So we have that kind of crash where, you know, you need coffee or sugar or to go out for a walk or whatever it is. But we often actually experience that kind of willpower plummet around that stage. And I notice myself, like, if I try to get myself to go for a run in the evenings or do some study or something in the evenings, it is so much harder than doing it at the start of the day because I just don't have the willpower left to do it. So, yeah. Interesting observation.
Very much so. So the science tells us that we can't do everything. And the more we try to do more, we then find ourselves in a situation where there's choice overload, a bit like 3 o'clock lull, and do we go for, you know, a walk versus the sugar hit? And with more choices comes that depleted willpower, which is definitely what you were indicating then, that, you know, when we make decisions and how we make them can be impacted. So I was wondering if you could sort of talk us through that a little bit more, because I think a lot of our listeners would really resonate with that feeling, but still kind of go, oh, but, you know, what does this mean? What happens here?
Yeah, sure. I guess starting at the start for me, understanding willpower, I had to go back and understand what my brain did with it. And why that was important. So if you think about, there's a couple of different parts of your brain in this. The amygdala is deep in the limbic system, and it's in charge of your emotional center, but also the flight and fight response. Your prefrontal cortex is right at the forehead, and your prefrontal cortex is really responsible for logical thinking and making great decisions. So that's where your willpower sits. Now what happens is, When we need to use our willpower, if we don't have enough energy in the prefrontal cortex, in that part of our brain, then it starts to get fuzzy and we can't use it. So there's a little equation. The way that I think about this is a little bit like the tooth fairy. So imagine you've got a willpower fairy, and every night he adds up a certain number of elements, and then that's how much willpower you get for the next day. Okay, so this magic willpower fairy comes down and he looks at your life and he says, okay, have you had 8 hours sleep? Have you eaten really healthy food? Have you had a good dose of hope or optimism or positive emotions? Because those positive, those neurotransmitters are actually going to help your brain function more effectively. And have you exercised? Because the more exercise we get, the more we oxygenate our brain, the easier it is for our brain to work effectively and the more willpower we have, right? So we want to think through all of those layers and start to understand at the start of the day, how much willpower have we got stacked up? Mm-hmm. Because when we get to those tricky decision points, if you haven't had enough sleep, well, there's a really good chance that you're not going to make a great decision. In fact, there's been some great research done on this in a rehabilitation facility in America. And what they found was that an hour's sleep, just 1 hour of sleep, makes the difference of doubling somebody's willpower. Mm-hmm. So when they took the participants from on an average of 6 to 7 hours sleep up to 7 to 8 hours sleep, so on average they improved their sleep by 1 hour, participants were twice as likely to resist the temptation of drugs and alcohol in the next day. And most people just don't think about the amount of sleep that they get in relation to making good decisions.
Yep.
But it's actually imperative. And so when you think about your diet, your exercise, your sleep, whether you're feeling positive and optimistic or whether you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, those things massively impact your willpower. The reason it has such a big impact, and you've probably heard, Narelle, of the amygdala hijack.
Yep.
So, you know, if you think, a really simple way to explain it is if you're playing with a small child, and imagine you're playing with a soccer ball, and that soccer ball goes out onto the road, your prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of your brain, right, is going to go, okay, how fast is a ball traveling? How fast is a little boy running? How busy is the road? Where's my phone? Where's the closest hospital? And so your prefrontal cortex's job is to logic through all of those things. Your amygdala's job is to just run and grab the little boy. So it's like an emergency shutdown. But the more stress we experience through our day, and that might be in the form of emails, classes, designing, you know, designing curriculum, all of those things are actually little elements of stress that have our prefrontal cortex, a part of our brain that we need willpower for, kind of switching off because it thinks there's an issue that it's not required for. Does that make sense, Narelle?
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great way of explaining it as well. And what, you know, what is happening. And I think as we think about it, we could definitely notice that as it progresses throughout the day. And also the difference between, say, we've had a sleepless night, or we've had a few nights in a row where we've definitely had a few less hours than what we normally operate on in a functional way, and noticing that difference. I know for myself, I struggle on a day where I've been awake at 3 a.m. And not really fallen back to sleep. I'm a big one for, I need a good 8 hours sleep to function well and for my brain to function well. Those days where I haven't had that sleep is certainly can be quite challenging. If there's chocolate in the fridge, it will enter my mouth, even though I know I shouldn't be having it. You know, choices for dinner that night may be, oh, takeaway will be fine, and it won't necessarily be the healthiest choice of takeaway, because it's kind of like I've just hit that capacity, right? And I just go for the easiest thing. Or I will avoid things if you just can't function.
And I think it's something to be mindful of. You know, I've worked with lots and lots of clients over the years who have told me, yeah, but Jodie, I get 6 hours sleep and I'm fine, I function fine. And my response has always been, if fine's what you're after, then we're good, we're done. But if you want your life to be awesome, if you want it to be the best you can, if you want to be making really good decisions consistently, then we need to do better than fine. So, yes, you can get by fine on 6 or 7 hours of sleep, but you're never going to be making really great decisions consistently. You're going to need more for that. And so it's really getting to know your body. And the other thing is like that ecological fallacy in terms of, all right, well, science tells us we need 8 hours sleep, but I wasn't in that experiment, you know, so what do I actually need? Because some people need more. Some people actually need closer to 9 hours sleep to function really well. And some people are genuinely like functioning awesome on 7.5 hours. So don't take our word for it. If you're out there, get a Fitbit, track your sleep, and just do it for a week or so. But what I'd challenge you is to, when you're feeling stressed, tired, or you're giving up with your temptations, actually just check with yourself, how much sleep did I have the day before? You know, use that as a bit of a self-reflective process and figure out what feels good for you.
Yeah, I like that suggestion. And I think doing a little of an experiment, a sustained experiment on ourselves, but really observing and really becoming aware. And I also love what you've said is, if you're responding with things, I'm okay or I'm fine, you know, is that good enough? Sort of, you know, I'm awesome, I'm amazing, I'm, you know, so inspired, I'm so motivated. There's so many other exciting ways to describe your day, your experience, what you're feeling, that truly represent when you're functioning really well and you're eating well and you're sleeping well, and the brain is functioning well. I'd really love to encourage those people who are listening to expand beyond that "I'm fine, I'm okay" as their response to what's happening. But also, if that is what you're saying, what does that mean for you? And what's going on for your life? Yeah.
And I think there's times, like, I'm a really big believer that there's a time for consolidation and a time for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your life, if right now is a time for consolidation, then fine is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, stick with that, and that's genuinely okay. Use your self-compassion and be kind to yourself. But if fine is an excuse for not doing something, mm-hmm. because now's actually a time for growth and an opportunity to learn, then that's a different scenario. You know, that's where we do really need to check in and make sure that there's an opportunity to move forward and we're taking it.
Yeah, really great advice. So many of the pre-service teachers who are listening are juggling assignments, trying to complete them, deadlines. Deadlines always feel like there's four coming in at the same week. Juggling expectations, they've got, you know, massive to-do lists, you know, movement in the careers as teachers, no matter what stage they're at in regards to their study. Some are just starting out, some are, you know, halfway through, some are just about to graduate and setting that intention that all aligns for graduation this year. And I'm wondering, you know, if we start to think about willpower, what can we do to help ourselves when we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, massive to-do lists, motivations a bit wonky, and all those things that feel like they're kind of coming in on us a little bit?
I think it's probably, you know, the way that I think about our current environment, and particularly with coronavirus right now, the normal stresses are being exacerbated. And so our brains are under an unusual amount of pressure, and we call that allostatic load. The amount of thinking that our brains have to do just to get through the day. We have on average over 80,000 thoughts. Now, a lot of those is the same stuff that we were thinking about last time, but it really is acknowledging that with the pandemic, there's another dimension that we've added, and the pressure that we normally feel like has been ramped up. And so there was a really nice quote around willpower, and it said you're actually better to have no goals than to have conflicting goals. Because when you get to a to-do list that's overwhelming, what happens is that negative emotion hits your amygdala and starts shutting down your prefrontal cortex, which destroys your willpower. So the more conflicting goals that you have, or the bigger your to-do list, the harder it is for you to use your self-discipline and get things done. So what I'd encourage people to do is actually take stock of that to-do list and get rid of at least half of it. Now, that doesn't mean get rid of it like you don't have to do it. What it means is to reprioritize and say, today my goal is just this small piece of this project, because you can't do everything. So whatever you do, don't put everything that you have to do on one list. It's not feasible. So have one list for today and another list for everything else. And your everything else list, that's fine. You don't need to look at that today. What often happens is people get caught on the everything list. And that's where we hit overwhelm, and that's where our brain can't cope anymore, and we run into all sorts of hurdles. So one of the first things to do is to really cut down that to-do list. So I talk about small goals and tiny steps. So really making sure that we're breaking things down, because what you do is every time you achieve a goal, you actually grow your willpower muscle. So every time you tick something off on your to-do list, you prove to yourself that you can do it, you can achieve it, And that willpower muscle grows because you're demonstrating that belief in yourself that you can say what you're going to do. And that's a really, really powerful motivator. There's another idea that was actually developed by a guy called Sean Anker. And he developed a theory of a 20-second rule, which I love. And I've played with this lots in my life. So the 20-second rule says, if you're trying to change a habit or move towards a goal, so in terms of our willpower, that those things that are important, get yourself 20 seconds closer to a better decision. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're trying to stop watching TV in the evenings, but TV is your normal default, right? And when you're low on willpower, we know that we always default to what we did yesterday. So if you want to stop watching TV in the evenings, take your remote control, put it in a Ziploc bag, and go and put it in your bathroom drawer. Now, when you sit down in the evening and you sit in your lounge with your wine and you go to turn the TV on, the remote control is not where it needs to be. So you're 20 seconds further away from that automatic behavior. Now, what that does is that 20 seconds activates conscious thought, which is where your willpower sits. So it's up here in that prefrontal cortex, and we start to re-trigger what's going on in that part of our brain. And so by giving ourselves that gap between our automatic behavior, we spark conscious thought. And then we're sitting on the lounge, right, with our wine and no remote, and we have to ask ourselves the question, I didn't want to watch TV. Now if I want to watch TV, I have to go against what I wanted and get up and go to the bathroom, get the remote out of the bottom drawer and turn it on. And for most people, that's enough to go, no, actually, this was important to me. I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to play chess with my partner, or whatever that might be. But that 20 seconds makes it that much easier because you're setting yourself up for success. If you think about another way to use that 20-second rule is if you want to go for a run in the morning, when you wake up, actually have all of your running clothes ready and your phone and your car keys right by the door so that the moment you get up, there's no other option. They're all there. And it's probably easier than, whatever the normal default was. So you're 20 seconds closer to the goal that you want to work towards. So that 20-second rule, I think, is something that's, you can be quite playful with in how you apply it and use it to build habits, but also to break habits. And habits really underpin the moment we're using a habit. And you mentioned before, Narelle, the moment we're actually using a habit, we no longer need willpower. Mm. So our willpower stays intact for other things. So it's a great way to play with them.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I love that 20-second rule. It's going in my toolbox. It's happening. So, and
it's,
for
it's
me,
really it's fun.
Yeah, totally. 20-second rule, particularly for the afternoon. For me, I'm a morning person. I've got my, great routines happening in the morning. So, my exercise clothes are all ready. So I just roll out of bed, brush my teeth, wash my face, put the clothes on. So the choices are gone. I know what that routine is. My watch goes on, off I go, and out I go out the door. So now add the mask to the pile as well. So that's there. A couple of times I've gone out the roller door and gone, hang on a moment, I'm missing that essential element at the moment. And I have routines around my writing, things that I always have it pre-prepared, so I know when I sit down to write what I'm working on, and chunking my time out that way. And that's the willpower is fully functioning. It's all happening because I've set up small choices to make those habits continue over a sustained number of years. It's that afternoon lull that occurs when it's been a full schedule or haven't slept so well the night before, and that energy is starting to happen, where the fuzziness can happen with the brain, and The diary can be maybe not as productive as, well, the to-do list rather is probably not as productive as what I'd hoped for. Rather than going, actually, I should have probably just picked one thing that was my afternoon focus, rather thinking I could knock off 10 things.
Yeah. And I think if there's one thing that we can learn from willpower, it's that your brain is really, really great at doing one thing at a time. But the hardest thing for your brain to do is juggle your to-do list. And if you've got a to-do list with 15 things on it, your brain hits overwhelm really quickly. And the moment it hits overwhelm, we go into procrastination mode. So get rid of the 15 things, put them on a different list. My to-do list now that I use is literally tiny. So I can only, it's like a really little book that sits with my laptop. But I can only functionally put four or five things on the day. And so I have to be really discerning about what are the most important things that go on there. Because if everything goes on there, then nothing, the more that goes on there, the less gets done.
Yeah, totally.
Really challenge people to put less on your to-do list and then just see what happens to your productivity. Yeah, and I've noticed for me, it certainly makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think it's I think one of the mistakes we can commonly make, and I know I've done it myself, is I write everything out that I need to get done. And that list is massive. And I think, oh no, well, what I used to do was I would cross it out and I would highlight it or the colors like it's done. But I'd still get to the end of the week and I've maybe addressed four things. Now, those four things are massive and they're big tasks. But I don't celebrate that they've been done. I just look at the rest of the stuff where I was like, okay, now I've got to carry it over to the next week. And so there's sort of, we lose the appreciation element and the positive emotion, the optimism, the perspective of, oh, I've actually achieved some great things this week. And I really like that suggestion of having two lists. There's one, you might have the list of the reminders, but that's not what we're looking at every day, all day. And each day you're actually pulling out one or two key things that you want to do. What are those elements? And in order to do that, we've had to really think about that task and chunking and pulling out the bits and making them into achievable chunks.
I think that's a, it's a really big part of it. The other thing that probably needs a good mention is exercise. As much as we need willpower to exercise, and you mentioned you exercise every morning, but it gives us a triple payback. So for the time we spend exercising, we get triple that benefit back in willpower. So the little willpower fairy, he loves the more exercise you do, the more willpower tokens you can get. So really think some of Kelly McGonigal's work looked at as much as 15 minutes of exercise, making a really profound difference in how much willpower you have for the day. And so it doesn't have to be, one of the things that I'm quite passionate about is people not giving themselves really hard goals, because what I've noticed is that the harder and firmer we are with ourselves and goals, the less likely we are to either achieve them or to feel good about them. By setting really tiny, simple goals, like doing, going outside for 10 minutes, just walking around the block for 15 minutes, the more achievable it is, the more good it will feel. And when you do it, you're more likely to keep doing it and doing it again. And so that's that practice and the building the willpower muscle that we want to experience. But exercise, and it doesn't matter what shape or form exercise takes, it's literally just moving your body. So if surf feels good, if yoga feels good, if going for a run or playing footy, or it doesn't matter, it's just movement. Any sort of movement gets more oxygen to your brain, and that's what your brain needs to make good decisions.
Yeah, really nice. Okay, so before we say goodbye to this podcast episode, I'm wondering if you could share some tips. But we're going to do it a little bit differently to normal. And I'm wondering if we could, we always like to spice it up, Jodie. One thing that we could try now, one thing we should stop doing, and one thing we could do more of. I'm wondering, try now, stop doing, and do more of. What would be some of the tips that you would frame under that structure?
All right. So if I was going to say start, I would say start tracking sleep. That would be my first and foremost. You don't actually have to play with sleep. You don't have to change it. You don't have to commit to a structure or a bedtime of 9:30, but just start tracking it and then get curious about what works for you and what doesn't. And when you start binge eating at 10 p.m., actually ask yourself the question, how much sleep did I get last night? And what's my likely willpower level? Because sleep is such a big factor, I think it's something that we can all start thinking about more in this space. Mm. In terms of stopping, I would say stop trying to do everything. Mm-hmm. Stop overwhelming yourself with to-do lists and tasks. Stop all the conflicting goals. You know, like that really cool quote I mentioned before, better to have no goals than conflicting goals. Mm-hmm. If you've got two goals that are working against each other, your brain is going to be in constant conflict about which path to follow. And the more decisions you make each day, the more depleted your willpower gets, the less you're actually going to achieve. Mm-hmm. So really cut back on those to-do lists and just little tiny bite-sized chunks and make them doable. In terms of more, I would have to say more exercise. If we get a triple payback on something, then, I'm all about bang for buck. But make sure that when you do exercise, that it's fun, that it's the way that you need to do it. So if you're a people person, then do it with people. If you're an animal person, then, take your dog for a walk or just go outside and play with a dog. Doesn't matter how you do it, but the more you move your body, the more physically we move and engage our body, the better our brain is going to respond when we ask it to make good decisions. And I think that's really important, that we don't just assume that self-control is something that we do or we don't have. Mm-hmm. There's a powerful formula, like that little willpower fairy. He's going to help you out, but he's going to look at all the things that you've done or haven't done, and that's how much willpower you're going to have for the next day. So start tracking your sleep. Stop trying to do everything and try to get more exercise. Not a massive amount, but just a little more than you're currently doing.
Mm. Nice top tips. I love them. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to personally working on all of those aspects and tweaking and refining. I know for me during COVID, all of those things have looked different and felt different as well, and refinding new patterns and new routines for what they could be like. And I'm sure that's the situation for those who are listening. And once again, you have provided so much inspiration, Jody. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been cool. Like it's an absolute privilege. I love to be able to share this stuff and hopefully just spark some ideas in people. Mm. A different way of thinking sometimes can make a profound difference in how we feel and change how we behave. And so it doesn't have to be, earth moving. It's just a little spark that shifts something. And it's really cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And the sparks are flying, and hopefully they're all shining and being lit and happening for those who are listening, and finding what's right for you right now, knowing that it changes for us. And you re-listen to this podcast in a month's time or 6 months time, you'll pick up something else different according to where you are at the time. So it's all about planting those seeds and setting those good sparks off. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Narelle.
sparked ideas, provided comfort, or supported you in your professional growth, I'd love for you to take a moment to share your thoughts on social media. And I invite you to do this with the hashtag #TeachersSupportingTeachers. To access these episodes notes, other episodes, as well as resources, feel free to connect on the web at www.exploreandcreateco.com or on Instagram and Twitter at Relipops. I'd love to connect with you. Thank you to Magnus Mooney for the music, and thank you also to my guest Jodie Cooper for returning to Teachers Supporting Teachers podcast, with this episode focusing on willpower and what this means for us. In this episode, we really encourage you to take up the challenge to tune into how you work best so that you're thriving and flourishing. And we were thinking a lot about lots of questions and different strategies, tips and tricks about how you can expand beyond the response to when someone asks you how you are to I'm fine or I'm okay, to exploring other ways. And we pose some questions for you to think about. So what are your habits and how do they help you with your willpower and especially around making those important decisions? What does your willpower plummet look like? How do you tune into and be mindful about how your body and mind are supporting you? What are your sleep patterns? What does your diet look like? And what is in your engagement with positive emotions look like? And how does that impact your willpower? What is good for you? How do you embrace a time for growth? And what does a time for consolidation mean for you? Enjoy these big questions as you explore willpower and your growth.